Good morning. This is Pastor Irvin Schmidtke of the Roseau Free Lutheran Church in Roseau and the Northern Free Lutheran Church of Salo. We'd like to thank everyone that has helped sponsor these broadcasts. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one listening. Help our hearts and our minds to be open and receptive to your word. Help us, O God, to hear what you have to say, and that the nearness of your coming is closer every day. Help us to realize the need to have you in our hearts and lives and to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Then at this time, we'll call on the Grand Family Singers. Messages for today. The first one we want to read is found in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord God, let not wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Then we'd like to take a couple of verses from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. For I am not, Paul says, ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The gospel message is found in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Then one of the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Here is a man that has come to Christ and has listened to many of his parables, and now he is wanting his portion of an inheritance, and his brother is also wanting that same inheritance. And so they don't agree because they both want it. They're looking at what they can get on the earthly care and not the heavenly. So then Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke this parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. As we look at these words, and as we look at this parable, we find so very, very much that these two men had their treasure on earthly things. Their father or their mother and family had set up a good amount of treasure on earth. And so they both were greedy and they wanted it. They were like this rich man. He did not think about the future. He thought, "I can retire. I have many goods laid up for myself. And boy, I have really, really come a long, long way. And I have accomplished much." And God says, "Where is your treasure? Is your treasure on earth? Do you glory in what you have? What is your life? What is the aim in your life? To gain as much as you can of this earthly things? Because the day is coming." And God says, "I have appointed each one of you for a day in which you will leave the world. And that time, you will not go beyond that time. That time is set. And that's the time you will leave. Then who will all these things belong to?" If we look back a little bit and we can see what Jeremiah was telling us, he says, "Do not glory." God warned the Israelites, and he's telling us. And there's many, many warnings throughout the Bible that do not set up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth and corrupt thieves break in and steal, but set up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves cannot break in and steal. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in your life." His righteousness, that people will see His glory, and people will see that you are living in such a way that Jesus is the ruler of your life, that you have given your life over to Christ. You know, in Jeremiah it says, God is speaking and He says, do not let the wise glory in his wisdom. Do not let the mighty glory in his strength or his might. Do not let the ones with very much intelligence and wisdom glory in their wisdom. Don't let them pat themselves on the back and say, look at what a great person I am. I am so smart. I have gained so much. And everything is I. They have taken the S out of son and they have put in the I. I sin. I want to live in sin. I want to do what I want to do. And if I get in trouble, I will call upon God and say, Lord, where are you? Help me. And God will say, I don't hear your prayer because you are not looking out for eternity. You are not looking ahead. You are not looking out to the place when you are called from this world to where you will be. This man in this parable had many riches, and he had his heart set on them without thinking about anything else. We find that we can have a lot of intelligence, and that's good. We can make smart decisions, and that's good. We can make all kinds of things happen, and it's good. But let us remember, let us do it to the glory of God. In Ecclesiastes, it tells us that if we live, we are to live and we're to work and we are to live a life with all of our strength, all of our thoughts. And Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. And he says, go ahead, whatever you find to do, do it with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind. But remember, the day is coming when you will stand before the judge and he will ask you, what have you done with your life? Why have you done it the way you wanted to do it? Why is it that you haven't glorified God? Why haven't you put that glory into God, because He created the heavens and the earth, because He created you and all that is around you? He has given it to you, and He has given it to you to use as you see fit, but to glorify Him, because He is the creator of all things. And so we find that in it, we are to remember it is God who created the heavens and the earth. And He has also given to us all that we need for our daily substance or our daily needs. God tells us if we want to glory or brag, let us do it in this manner, that our faith is in God, that He is the one that sustains us. He is our Lord, and He is our personal Savior, because He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. We could look and we can see that as we acknowledge God, and as we acknowledge God as the one who has given us His loving kindness, His righteousness, and His righteous judgments in our lives, we will find He will take care of us. In Psalm 33, King David, as he wrote this psalm, he says, we are not saved by our own strength. We are not saved by the swiftness of horses or the strength of ourselves, but we have our own strength, we have our own knowledge, and it is God's providence that we find that He has given us the wisdom we need, the helping of us to make the decisions we have to make, and to help us to put things in proper perspectives. We should always remember our days are to come to an end, and when they do, we will have to answer for what we have done, the choices we have made in this life. God also tells us that with Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, if we serve Him and His righteousness, and we glorify and glory in Him with our strength, our wisdom, our knowledge, and we acknowledge that Christ is the one to be glorified, that we do it. That God says our sins will be wiped away and they will be remembered no more. That when He calls us out of this world, we then would find that we would hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How do we do that? We put our faith in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We put our faith in what God has done for us. We put our faith in Christ alone. And as Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed because it is a power of salvation. It is a power in which we have the forgiveness of sin. It is a power in which gives us wisdom and strength to go. It's the power that gives us the peace in this troubled world. And as the troubles in the world are multiplying, we find that we can have that peace which passes all understanding because God has given us salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ." So you see, Paul and King David, they both knew of this peace. And they both knew that the pride cannot be of ourselves. If we're to boast, we're to boast in the glory of God. We're to boast in the glory of God, and that in this we will know that God is the one in control. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He is the one that keeps us day by day. He is the one that helps us, and He is the one that will keep us as we go forward. We find that too, that God has told us in the Psalms 40, He puts it this way, King David wrote it, and he says that God's salvation is of His own graciousness. David says, "I have not concealed, I have not kept it to myself. Your loving kindness," he's talking about God, "the loving kindness of God, and your truth from all the great assembly or the people in His kingdom." He says, "I have told them that they must trust and believe in God the Father, because He is the one that takes care of us. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that keeps us alive. He's the one that helps us in many times when we get ourselves into problems." In Micah, we would find Micah stating it this way, "Who is a God like you?" Micah is talking about God that forgives, that you forgive and you pardon the iniquity and the sin of the people, because we have sinned against you, and we come to you in seeking repentance and seeking your knowledge and your wisdom. We can do that in Christ Jesus. We find that our treasure then is in Christ Jesus. Our treasure is what we live for. Do we place our treasure in Christ, or do we place our treasure in ourselves? we find that as we live day by day, we are to place our treasure in heaven, for Christ has said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we would want to look a little bit at some of the things, if we look at this parable and we see these two boys were taking and looking for greed on the earth, let us look a little bit as what we would they would find if they would put their trust in Christ, and they would trust in Christ above all things. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. In that giving, we can have eternal life. And if we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we find that in this, we have not only salvation, we have eternal life. In eternal life, we also have the life in which God has given us that will go on after we die in our physical world here. Our eternal life will be immortal. And let us look just a little bit of some of the things that you will see in heaven. If you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will find this. You'll see not only God's glory, you'll see his throne. The throne in which Jesus is at the right hand of God on God's throne. And Jesus says, you have the right to sit on the throne on my side with me because you have put your faith and trust in what happened on the cross of Calvary. Number two, we would see the tree of life planted beside the river of living water that flows from the throne of God. We would have the sins forgiven. And then Isaiah tells us that our sins and all the former things like that will be forgotten and will be remembered no more. We will be given a new name. And that name will be written in our foreheads. And we will have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We will see the pureness and holiness and righteousness of God and why things go the way they are. And God's righteousness is the only pure righteousness and holiness and truth that we can trust in. We can see everlasting life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because we have taken him as our personal Lord. Now let's turn to page over and let's look a little bit at the people that want their treasure here on earth and want nothing to do with God here on earth, yet they want God if they get in trouble only, and they expect God to answer them. God says, I can't hear you. But we find that as we turn the page over and we look a little bit at the things in which we can see what happens to those that we refuse, if they refuse to follow Christ. A little bit of what hell will be like. Everlasting separation from God. In total darkness, not any righteousness, not any purity, not any relief. A place of sorrow and weeping, the gnashing of teeth, and it's a fire that burns forever and ever, an unquenchable fire, the bottomless pit, which it tells us in Revelation is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a lake of fire, torment. The rich man woke up in hell, and he cried out, give me a little bit of water on my tongue to quench this hot heat, and we'll see that it won't happen. Tormented with fire and brimstone, a place where you do not want your relatives to come or to live, that we find this so very, very plain. Give your heart to Christ and live for him today. because he is the one that keeps you day by day. Give your heart to Christ and live for him and glorify him in wisdom and strength in all that we think and say or do. Amen. Now we'll call in the Grand Family Singers.
So many big but empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Bring your people to a state of kingdom life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again. Your precious holy hand, we pray. Let your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living, glorious church. Not for temporary deeds, but to restore the thought. And power, let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Touch your people once again. Lord, you see our tired servants, wounded, broken soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross as the only source for us. When we stand up facing final battle cry, restore your church again. Touch your people once again. Your precious holy hand, we pray. Let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary deeds, but to restore the authority. Rushing wind blowing, touch your people once again. Let a mighty rushing wind blowing, touch your people once again.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his covenant upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.